A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. Listen for God's word. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Elud, and Elud the father of Elizur, and Elizur the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Questions you might be asking yourself after that reading. First of all, just a general why. Why did she do that to us? Or perhaps you're wondering if one of them played a prank on me and told me that it's an age-old fourth tradition to begin at the beginning of the New Testament. Or maybe you are wondering why you didn't name your own son Zerubbabel. I have never read this text before in worship or ever out loud. The genealogy of Jesus is often brushed over as we rush to chapter 2 to hear the birth narrative of Jesus at Christmas. But Matthew included this genealogy for a reason. So maybe as we begin this new chapter together, we should begin at the beginning, as it is recommended in Alice in Wonderland. Begin at the beginning. The first question asked by Matthew's readers and all subsequent generations is, who is Jesus Christ? A nice guy? A radical politico? A misguided martyr, an interesting prophet, or something else altogether? Who is Jesus Christ? The question is always extremely personal. Matthew is the only gospel writer to begin the story of Jesus with a genealogy, listing over 40 generations in his introduction, before telling us about Jesus' birth, or his baptism, or his preaching, or his miracles, or his death and resurrection. Matthew wants us to know where Jesus came from. Matthew starts by setting the bigger landscape about the lineage of God's people from generation to generation, all the way back to Father Abraham. Some of the names listed might conjure up familiar Bible passage, and some of the names are completely unknown. But Matthew's point is that Jesus is connected to all of them and their families. Jesus is part of the rich tapestry of human history with all of its triumphs and its trials. And Jesus is part of the greater covenant made by God to God's people. It's an interesting way to begin at the beginning. This genealogy is not provided for us by Matthew as some long list of model citizens for us to look up to and be inspired. There are people of great faith on the list, but there are also people who are flawed and sinful, and all of them are some combination of both. The point is that Jesus is connected to all of them. All of these people and all of these generations are part of the story of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. A few weeks ago, we were at our first Cubs game, taking in the sights and the sounds and the emotions of the sea of blue, when the screen started playing some highlight videos. There were highlights of a former player, Sammy Sosa. They were showing some of his greatest hits, and the crowds were cheering like it was all happening live. And then they cut to a place in the stands, and they zoomed in on Sammy. And he was there in the stadium that day, waving to the fans as he watched his former team play. Now, I don't know very much about the Cubs yet, but I have heard of Sammy Sosa. He is part of the genealogy of Cubs history, and these videos and his presence there in the stadium connected the past to the present. If you want to be a real follower of a team or an institution or a church, you must learn the names and the stories of the people who make it is what it is today. People feel proud to be part of something that has been built by those who came before them. People feel inspired to do their part to carry the mantle forward. People feel honored and connected to be connected to the generations who have kept the faith and fought the good fight. People feel excited about reforming and building upon the legacies they inherit. That is how I feel about joining Fourth Presbyterian Church. Proud to join in the ranks, proud to be counted as part of the rich history, and proud to be part of a team that makes this place special and important and sacred. Proud to pastor to the people connecting past to present. This summer, I spent time checking out the Fourth Church YouTube channel, and I came across an interview by Fourth's former pastor, John Buchanan, called Memories from Clergy. It was done about 4 years ago in celebration of the 150th anniversary. Someone was interviewing John over Zoom, and one of the questions was about what surprised him when he arrived. He talked about coming from a smaller and less complicated church than Fourth and being fortunate that there were people who helped him. And instead of just moving on, he started listing them, starting with someone named Jeanette Krennick, who was his first administrative assistant. Then he mentioned Dave Donovan and John Boyle and Morgan Simmons. But he didn't stop there. He kept listing people, naming more and more: Linda Loving, Chris Jacoyan, John Wilkinson, Callum McLeod, Nancy, Deborah, Ted, Adam, Allie, John, Dana, Sarah, Joe, Keith, Don, Leshek, Judy, Barbara, more and more names he added to the list. He was creating a genealogy of the people who had helped him to be connected in this place. And he said, what an honor and blessing it was to me to be able to work with an incredible group of talented, smart, devoted clergy and lay people, and I will never, ever forget them. The people who help us on our way and form us in the faith are never forgotten. John's genealogy connects us to him and to those people and to their shared faith in Jesus. And so I was excited that I knew some of the names on John's list. Chris Chikoyan and John Vest and Callum McLeod and Linda Loving and Leszek. I already met Leszek. We are connected to each other and to the people who have gone before us, and it makes this place sacred. Because in this place, you are able to connect with your own genealogies, your own lists, the people who have shaped you, the people you hold dear, the people who have gone before you, parents, grandparents, teachers, friends, mentors, colleagues, husbands, wives, children. In this place, we connect with each other. We are connected with these people and throughout the generations to Christ's church and to Christ himself. The names of the saints of Fourth Presbyterian Church are all around us. They're in the stories that are told. They're on the walls and the doors and the windows. They're on the name tags and the ID badges. They are typed into the minutes of the reports. They're in the little windows of the Zoom boxes. They are stitched into the needle points of the cushions. These names, both those known to us and those unknown, represent the cloud of witnesses of this place, the cloud of witnesses that we are part of. Matthew had the objective of convincing people that Jesus was the Messiah. In writing his gospel, Matthew wanted to firmly plant Jesus into the history of humanity, not coming from beyond us, but from among us. Matthew wanted the readers and the listeners to know that they were part of the story. And this is important in this great age of disconnection, to feel like you belong in the story, that you are connected to it, you are attached to it, you are rooted in it, in the shared story and the common faith and the work that is done together. You know what John Buchanan said about the list of people that he put together? He said, he could have just said all his accomplishments and told fun stories, but he took so much time in this interview listing all of these people. And then he said, these people took me by the hand. It's so beautifully put, because that's what church is about. Remembering who has taken us by the hand, and then taking our turn doing the same. Welcoming people in, sharing the stories, showing them the way, helping them when they are lost, picking them up when they fall, cheering for them when they succeed, wiping their tears when they mourn, and sitting side by side through it all. From one generation to the next, we take each other by the hand, and so the traditions are carried, and so the faith is shared, and so the love grows. At the beginning of the book, Gilead, by Marilyn Robinson, a father is telling a story about a conversation had with his son. "I told you last night I might be gone sometime, and you said, where? And I said, to be with the good Lord. And you said, why? And I said, because I'm old. And you said, I don't think you're old. And you put your hand in my hand, and you said, you aren't very old, as if that settled it. Hand in hand, one generation to the next, with Christ as our foundation, with Christ as the cornerstone, we will be part of the story. The story of this place and the story of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's what we're going to do, okay? That's what we're going to do. May it be so. Amen.